I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations.
How do you balance having a family with having a career? According to the Wall Street Journal, job-related anxieties that come with parental leave, including worries about slowing one's career trajectory, are familiar to many women. And as more employers expand parental leave benefits for men, new and soon-to-be fathers are confronting those same concerns. Jennifer Henderson spent 15 years in corporate America in operations, leadership development, and project management. When both of her pregnancies disrupted her career progression, she founded Career Allies to change the way organizations manage parental leaves. Welcome to Career Buzz, Jennifer Henderson.
Good morning, Mark.
So what do you like about your career these days?
Oh, so much. That's a great question. I think that the world of entrepreneurship, which is what I transitioned to a couple years ago after leaving, as you said, the corporate America, has been a roller coaster to say the least. However, knowing that we're doing work that's going to benefit the masses is the most rewarding part of my career I've ever had. So it's a very intrinsic motivation to keep doing what we're doing and help women and men and future growth of our company, all sorts of individuals, maintain their career while having life happen. So it's very rewarding.
Nice. I mean, so many people are looking for intrinsic reward in their work and meaningful work. So great to hear that you're finding it. So in a nutshell, we'll talk more about what Career Allies does, but just to orient listeners, in a nutshell, what's it all about? What is Career Allies and what are you doing with it?
Sure. So our elevator speech, so to speak, is we're a tech platform that organizations use to manage parental leave in their workplace. And we're a one-stop shop for parents and their supervisors, and that's critical for our platform to have a collaborative experience for the before, during, and after of maternity and paternity leave.
In this career move, what would you say are the strengths that you use to do what you do and do it well?
That's a great question. I think what comes to the surface more frequently than anything else is not only the ability to deal with ambiguity, but the total and complete love of ambiguity and truly knowing that no 2 days are the same and we never know what's around the corner. And that, while I prided myself on that in my past career life, has truly taken on a whole new form in this role. And I leverage that ability to see kind of through the clutter and the bigger picture and zooming in and out very frequently.
I love that answer. You know, I like to ask that question and, you know, foreshadowing my conversation with Paul Smith in the second half of the show about Canada Career Month, which is all about skills. And I like to ask that question and hearing how people uniquely respond to these questions and being able to own those skills of embracing ambiguity and seeing through the clutter. I love that as a way to articulate a skill, especially in this, some have called it a VUCA world of work, an acronym for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And there you are embracing the A from the VUCA world. So that's great.
Love that.
So let's step back. Where did your career start?
I received my undergraduate degree in communications, and that was honestly after a pivot from veterinary medicine goal, and then I hit organic chemistry and decided that wasn't for me. So changed course to communications, and during college, I was lucky enough to get a job with Starbucks Coffee Company, and it was an hourly job to pay the bills. Was really attracted by the culture, and at that time, Starbucks was literally exploding. They couldn't hire enough people to staff how fast they were opening new locations. So I hit it at a great time and had a tremendous career with Starbucks for 11 years, where I grew through the organization, had a variety of roles and leadership teams, was able to move for promotions and whatnot. And really, I credit Starbucks with being my professional formative years of understanding the power of an organization. And in particular, with what I'm currently doing today, I really watched from the inside how Howard Schultz created disruption and truly bucked the system and did not wait for legislation to catch up with what he believed was a cultural imperative for organizations. So I truly knew no other way. And I thought very naively that was the way organizations operated. And so I'm grateful that I was able to leave Starbucks and really open my eyes to that, in fact, not normal, and but certainly replicatable. And that's something that really keeps me motivated, is that Howard he had no secrets. He's written many books, and there's been studies done as to how Starbucks created so many of the great things that they did. So I lean heavily on my experience through Starbucks with what we've created here at Career Allies, what I did in my past experience with other organizations, and what I continue to consult companies to do, because you know what? It's a process that works and works very, very well. You can't get over 18,000 locations worldwide without doing something pretty good. So that was really my base of career development.
Amazing to hear that. And just to highlight for listeners who might be working at, you know, Starbucks or as a barista somewhere else, you know, how some of those part-time jobs and those things, as you said, it was a job that you got to get you through college and so on, and how some of those part-time jobs turn into a career. And it's remarkably common. Was there a moment in time when you were working at Starbucks there when you thought this is just a part-time job, and the shift happened and it's like, wait a second, this is where I'm actually starting my career?
Yeah, it was a supervisor of mine at the time that really pulled me aside and said, I see some really strong leadership capabilities in you. Have you ever thought about continuing on the development track? And here's the roadmap, so to speak, of what you can grow into at Starbucks. And she just really opened my eyes to the potential. And then when I said, yeah, I want to learn more, the immediate investment that the company put into me and getting me into a development program, I even ended up taking my finals of my senior year early so that I could start a training program on time. And it was just a reciprocity that they said what they meant, and they did what they said they were going to do. So there was definitely that turning point where I said, yes, I'm interested, and they immediately met me with, all right, well, here's what we're going to do, and they invested in me right away.
Great story. Thanks for sharing that. I love your part in it, right? You said, yeah, I want to learn more. Your words. And I think that's such a key thing for people to be able to say yes when that opportunity that you don't expect arises in your career, even if it's a part-time job. Yes, I want to learn more. And just those few words suddenly transported you into this whole cool career trajectory. So Jen, let's fast forward. I know, you know, there's even a blog post that I was reading this morning that you kind of tell your story of both your career and then having kids, and that first story of having your first child, and it took a while, and how you were treated and what happened is actually kind of the seeds, I think, of what happens now in Career Allies. So do you want to just take us through what happened there and what opened your eyes to some of those experiences?
Yeah, so my personal story is the element that certainly started Career Allies, as so many founder stories are, right? A personal experience. And my husband and I struggled for 5 years during vitro fertilization to have our eldest son, Brian, who's 7. And that journey, as so many families know, is tumultuous to say the least. And when we were able to finally have a successful cycle and had our son, obviously, we were elated beyond belief, but it was very, very, very quickly met with a wall in my career. And this was new to me. I had really put my nose to the grindstone from the minute that I started my job and worked tirelessly to promote quickly and often. And I was certainly competitive, as I still am today. So I had a long and successful journey in my career. So when I hit this wall, after I disclosed my pregnancy, it was very jarring to me. I'd never experienced anything like it. However, given the journey that we had to become pregnant, I put it to the side, quite honestly, and said, you know what? I'm pregnant. This is all we wanted. I'm focusing on that. And I let it go. So my promotion that was on the line was taken away. And ultimately, that really sidelined my career, even after our son was born, to the point where I ended up actually leaving Starbucks and moving on to some other great opportunities. And then fast forward 5 years, another organization, another position, and another promotion on the table, and we became pregnant with our youngest daughter, Quinn. And when I disclosed my pregnancy, yet again, the promotion was taken away. So when it happened the second time, I had a couple options, right? I could certainly turn the other cheek like I had the first time and move on. I could certainly litigate. And the other option was to really become part of the solution. And that was, for a lot of reasons, the most compelling for me. So I opted out. I left my position and took this tremendous risk to see if I can be part of the change that I wish I had. And you know, very transparently, part of the motivation is having had a daughter, I never want her to experience what I had experienced. I want her to love her career, and I want her to love her family and never have to have one suffer because of the other. So good internal motivation set off, and threw myself into research. And Mark, as you know, we get so pulled into what's the current state and what can I soak up in terms of the stats and the research. And I partnered with amazing corporations in Canada and the UK and Australia, and learned from these much more progressive political entities how it can be done when people opt out of the workforce for longer than here in the US, the obligatory 3 months, even if you're lucky enough to have 3 months. And that's what were the building blocks of how we've built our program and platform today.
And we should take note, Jennifer Henderson, you're in the U.S., and we have listeners in the U.S. and Canada and worldwide, and there are some stark differences between the way our two countries deal on a kind of legal level with parental leaves. Let me come back to that, and let me just back up a moment here, because, you know, in reading your story that you've got on your Career Allies site, you know, two promotions that were taken off the table. You just said that out loud, and you had this sentence that I was just reflecting on, that this is what you were told: working moms should expect to be a C-plus mom and a C-plus businesswoman. And it sounds like this was the story that you were being fed in the world of work. And then with the additional piece of information about two promotions being taken off the table, I mean, that's, you know, there's a sense of injustice that comes with that. And what was your reaction when you heard that C-plus comment?
Yeah, I was told that very early on in my career before I became a mother. And my reaction was truly, well, that's not going to happen to me. I didn't believe that was a commonplace. I thought that was this one individual's experience, albeit a very successful female executive that was telling me this. But I just didn't believe that would happen to me. And I was very naive at the time.
And it sounds like you found out that was not a unique situation to you, that others had experienced that. Did you connect? Like, were you starting to kind of feel the groundswell there and talk to others who might have been experiencing similar things?
You know, it's literally every single day we get contacted and speak to individuals who have similar or worse or just heartbreaking stories of this same theme around the world. And thank you for pointing out the differences, not only in legality, but in terms of how parental leaves are handled around the world. But I tell you, we've found in our research, and one of the reasons we've built our program like we have, is that no matter the leave time, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year off to care for children, if you don't have that collaborative approach from the manager, it truly can do just as much damage as not having the time. So our stance is that it's a very complex process that requires guardrails throughout. And again, regardless of, even here in the U.S., Netflix is known for having a year of parental leave available. But if we don't have the right manager approach to it, it can be all for naught. So it's truly a multifaceted problem.
How crucial that you connected it to your own personal story with a daughter. I was just touched by that also as the father of a daughter who's, you know, just getting into the world of work herself, how important this topic is. So there's a problem here, you know, and it's interesting. Many listeners in Canada recognize, like, we have more than that 3 months, and it just keeps getting even longer. And now men are more able to kind of share that parental leave. And so, you know, it's at least a year. And that's even a longer period of time. It's sort of surprising to hear in the U.S. with 3 months, and still it be disruptive. 3 months isn't that long. 12 months is a long time to be away. So how do you describe the problem? If we're thinking about the problem that Career Allies tries to solve, what are the different ways to describe that problem?
It's a great question, and it's not as simple of an answer as I'd like it to be, because I bring a unique perspective in that I sat on that other side of the table as well, and my career and being a leader, I was the hiring and deciding manager for a number of years. So I felt the pain on the other side of having talent leave and go on leave or ultimately not return from leave. So the reason that we work with organizations specifically and not just with parents is I'm highly aware that there are financial implications and requirements for these hiring managers to still get business done while being respectful and authentic to parents in the workforce. So with that being said, the pain points that we really focus on with our platform are threefold. One being the administrative heavy lifting that HR typically has on their plate, which is, I'm cited numerous times as saying parental leave in organizations is often treated like a transaction. And quite frankly, it is, because by design, it's a lot of paperwork, it's a lot of procedure, typically pretty cold, and HR is the ones that typically have to handle that. So we relieve about 70% of the workload from HR. And then if you look at the position of the manager, most of the time, the individuals that we interact with in terms of management have had zero to very little experience managing leave. And this isn't a training that you see in new manager handbooks. It's not a, when your employee becomes pregnant, do X, Y, and Z. And if it is, it's often forgot, as so much of the initial training in management is. So it's really a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants scenario when a manager is approached and said, hey, I'm pregnant and here's what I'm due. So these managers are incredibly fearful, not only from a lack of knowledge, but a fear of what they hear in the media, which is the litigation risk. And certainly there's a lot of concern around the Me Too movement and things like that. So they're very concerned with what to do next, which is why you find 9 times out of 10, they kick it over to HR. And then you have the parent side of things, which is also very fear-based. And that can be because they've seen a colleague have a really bad experience. It can be because they're fearful around their career disruption and what could happen to a project they're working on or a trajectory that they're on. And then there's a tremendous lack and confusion of resources. So we have yet to find an organization where there's a one-stop shop for forms to fill out and resources to access. It's typically very scattered, extremely hard to find, and for a process that happens over and over and over again, and again, this is a Starbucks coming out to me, it just boggles my mind that there hasn't become more of a standardized approach and a repository of here's where you go and here's what you do in a very seamless process. So that's really what we've created, is we pull together company resources, we have our own library of resources, and anything else the employer wants to customize to their population. And we guide those individuals, those three parties, through our platform. And really the proprietary side of things that we believe is a game changer is we have a really robust intake assessment for the manager and the parent. And the parent's assessment includes an aptitude assessment, because we want to understand what gets these individuals out of bed in the morning. What part of their role do they love to do more than anything else? Because as studies show, that reintegration back to the workforce from leave is definitely the most at-risk time. By having the knowledge of their aptitude, we're able to amplify those parts of their job and increase the retention probability.
Wow, that last part really intrigues me. Because we've even had that on Career Buzz here. We've had people tell us about things that have changed their lives and their careers, including having a child and sometimes a big health scare. And you come back from that with a reordering of your priorities and a new desire to maybe utilize different skills or aptitudes. And it is true that people can come back with a renewed perspective and maybe want to take a shift internally, not necessarily come right back to that same job that they left. How common is that?
Very common, but for a variety of reasons, though. It's the flexibility request with regards to managing caregiver needs, or it's, to your point, it's really just a new foundational awareness of prioritization in their lives. The study, I can't cite a study on that, but I would tell you anecdotally and from our own research, it's a very common turn of events to come back in that different framing.
It sounds like such a huge topic in the U.S. Any insights? You know, we're many listeners here in Canada. We have a different thing. I mean, it's just been expanded even in the past year to beyond 1 year leave that can be shared as a parental leave also. So dads and dads-to-be are in the picture here too. Any point of comparison with the U.S. and Canada that you've come across?
Other than incredible envy, I think the point of comparison, again, remains pretty consistent in that it is not, it does not remove the disruption and potential negative influence on a career, even having the additional time. And it's critical that organizations get that around the world, not here just in the U.S., is that there's a very real unconscious and sometimes very conscious bias around parents in the workplace. There was just a study disclosed last week, I believe, from McKinsey, that if you have anything on your resume that cites that you're a parent as a woman, you have a 44% less likely chance of getting a call back. So the bias is real, and that's everywhere. So that's a comparative point that, you know, we talk to individuals all the way around the world that we've got to make this work to remove this stigma that people think parents can't have the same level of involvement or engagement in their work when they have children. It's very old school and antiquated thinking.
Wow, that was an eye-opener stat that you just gave us, Jen. 44% less likely to get a call back if it looks from your application materials and resume that you might have kids.
Yep.
Gee, that's sobering. Was that a U.S. study, do you know, or was that global or worldwide?
That was a U.S. study.
Gee. So, you know, it's clearly a widespread problem. I know in addition to trying to solve that using the portal, I was curious to find on your website an anonymous report that gives people the chance to kind of say, hey, you know, there's probably something worthwhile looking at over here. What can you tell us about that anonymous report?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That was a recent feature we turned on out of request from our clients, in that we have, like I mentioned before, a tremendous amount of fear out there, both from the manager's perspective and the parent. And by having this feature where individuals can come onto our website and fill out a form at the level of detail that they're comfortable with, saying, you know what, my organization really needs a wake-up call in this regard, whether it's we're dealing with unconscious bias, whether it's we don't know what our resources are, whether it's quite honestly there's just some toxic management going on that is really penalizing parents in the workforce. We've had a lot of different hands come up for a variety of different reasons. And then when we have that information, we're able to reach out to the organization and say, obviously in an anonymous way, we've been contacted that there might be some things that we can help with. And here's some of the services that we have to offer. Here's, you know, we can come in and just do a overview assessment. We can give them a report on the health of their organization from a parental leave standpoint, and then we can move forward from there. But it really allows both managers, because we've had managers and parents use that feature and say, hey, this isn't working, and we need some help here.
Amazing. If listeners want to check it out, Jen, as we're speaking here, what site do they go to? They can have a peek at it as we finish up.
Yeah, we're at www.careeralliesinc.com.
And I know in preparing for the interview, I clicked on the news link, which was interesting. It has that Wall Street Journal article that I cited in the intro, and you have a blog post there that you posted a while ago telling a bit of your own story. So I thought that was pretty fascinating, and listeners might find some helpful stuff there. So in a couple of minutes, just to before we wrap up, back to your own personal story, who has kind of helped you and shaped your thinking, mentors or authors or other key people that might have been influential in your journey as you move forward into this exciting new step?
Oh, that's really hard to cite just one. I think I've surrounded myself with an incredible tribe of mentors and advisors and colleagues that have guided me along the way. But, you know, if I were to dig back in my career journey and pick kind of that pivotal individual, it would probably be an individual named Noel Hoard, and he's currently still an executive with Starbucks. And he was one of the first leaders in my career that saw potential in me and invested in me and believed in me and advocated for me. And that's the differentiator that I would say I took away, is those people in your career that you work with, and it might be your supervisor, it might not, it might just be a colleague, but those that really stick their neck out and advocate on your behalf, those are the ones that I believe are separating themselves from the pack in terms of mentors and allies for you. And he was the first to really bolster me in the right messaging and put me in the right light when necessary. So I owe a lot of my career progression to Noel Hoard.
You know, what's some advice you could share with listeners that from, you know, from your own twists and turns in your career journey, and now as you set foot into this new kind of entrepreneurial realm, you know, something that you might have learned along the way that that you'd like to pass on to listeners?
I'll definitely say the entrepreneurial world is not for the faint of heart. It certainly looked more, I think, on the outside as with rose-colored glasses, or at least I did. So if individuals are considering entrepreneurship, please test that out as much as you can before you take that leap, because it's a roller coaster, as I mentioned earlier. And I think the other advice is that I interact with so many people, both through Career Allies as well as other work that I do, that really aren't engaged in enjoying their career. And we know the statistics, and Mark, I know you've had incredible guests on your show discussing this, but from my own perspective, it's not worth it. And the advice that I always give my friends and colleagues is just get out there and try something new. So do some coffees, informational interviews, job shadows. The barrier is not that high to dip your toe in the water and see what else might stick, and then get yourself in a position to be able to take that leap, because it's just, like I said, it's just not worth it. Life is too short.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.